Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. It is the final recording of the year, and I decided that we should do a year in review, like a Spotify wrap, I suppose, but, you know, a what wrapped? I don't know. I'm making it up as we go, folks. But I figured I should have a couple of, you know, fun and knowledgeable guests with me, so I dragged back into the studio the wonderful Meg Moz and Jen Sadai. How are we doing, ladies?
Wonderful.
And I'm just still reeling at the fact that you said knowledgeable, because I'm not quite sure that's the appropriate adjective to describe.
We're knowledgeable in some senses. Yes. I don't know about this one per se, but
let's see what we can remember about the year and what we got up to. And you know, have fun. I always have fun talking to you too. So you know,
likewise.
What better way to end the year than to chat with you two about what happened in it? So, you know, it's been a hot second, but does anyone have a favorite moment from the year, or shall we start with the fact that we got season two?
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
and it was a season two. I mean, last time we talked, we were talking about you know, the longing and such things. Mm-hmm. And I'm still really living in season two world. Like, I'm just comfortable there and like rewatching as I want, and I'm feeling good about the time and space, and like it's really enjoyable to rewatch it, and there's more things I catch every time, so
very rewatchable.
Yeah
mm-hmm. So I'm still living on that. Yeah, I mean, it was a great season too. Amazing.
I agree, although I did not like, I think it was episode seven, I did not like episode seven.
Oh.
I think I feel like it was I think going back, I liked episode seven more, but like, I think when I watched it, like episode five and six were so good that like seven kind of felt like a little bit of like a breath before the end, you know, which is probably needed. But yeah, I can see where that was kind of a letdown.
Yeah. I thought it was nice. I thought it was very calm, and I didn't have the same amount of hype watching episode seven as I did the rest, but I took it the same way. I was like, it's okay. I'll collect my breath and get ready for what's going to be epic.
And it was epic.
And it was, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I think I got a commenter like last week, or someone commented on my finale reaction, and they were like, I think they just said, well, that was fake. Because I was so over the top, because I got so engrossed in the moment. And so I worked up so much about the whole thing that I definitely look like I'm playing it up for the cameras, I suppose you could say. And I'm like, I'm not. I was just that worked up. So
I feel like I feel like people who are really like long term fans of the books and then now the series, like, wouldn't say that that's a fake reaction, because I mean, we're all so over the top already in love with it and what it means and on so many levels. I just think that, you know, that's
chill is not a word that describes our fandom.
No.
No.
That is true. That is true. Like,
rabid.
Yes. Rabid is a good word. You know, weirdly fixated. It would be a good set of descriptors.
What did Rosamond call us?
You know, someone just discussed this in a server, slightly out there.
Yes. That was a very apt description.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah. See, normally, I remember when the first trailer came out for season one, and, you know, I was excited.
Oh, and I cried, for sure. Yeah.
I got a little teary, but I'm trying to think back, like, across all the episodes and all the moments, and I don't think I've reacted to anything the way I reacted to the finale of season
two. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was very invested in, like, so invested in Uno and Guy Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of like really amped me up. And then I forgot moments like the Hopper. I forgot that that was coming. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
And other things. And it just, I got swept along. The episode just took me off guard. What a great September.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. And October. A little bit of October. Yeah.
And for you folks in America, just a tiny smidge of August as well.
Very small smidge of August, yes.
But for reals, we were there, that's for sure, in August. The season, I mean, you know, and that's the thing is, like, I think that when I think about, like, what next year's going to be, and if we don't have a season 3 coming out in
2024, yeah.
Right, which we might not. I doubt we will. I mean, we'll see. But in any case, I think, well, 24 is just a write-off year. You just forget about it and wait until 25. So when we do this next year, Rob, I'll be like, nothing happened this
nothing
year.
Yeah. Nothing. No conventions, no news, no,
I feel like I should
reveals.
Take, I should take them all off. I'm going to boycott all the conventions next year because, like, no real time.
You know that's not going to happen.
No,
right. Well, we'll tell Guy Roberts that you know, decided to boycott at WattCon. So, you know, when he's like, wait, where is the magical gen?
Yeah. He's going to ask. He's going to say,
like, I got one half of the sisters. Like, what is this? You know?
You should totally cosplay as Brigitte, too. You can pull it off.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Do it.
I might.
But Meg, who are you going to cosplay as then?
I don't know. I wish I could, like, pull off the whole Surah thing. Like, oh my God, that Why costuming was insane. Because that's a lot of work.
You have access. Wait, now I'm going to finish restructure that sentence because that sounded weird. You have the ability to give able-bodied youngsters sewing tasks and can, you know, creative
That's
tasks.
That's true. I can use my students as my costuming workers. Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Extra credit.
And I'll just let you imagine how badly I constructed that sentence initially in my head.
I have a good imagination and it's pretty full right now.
Yeah. It was not good. I was like, I'll stop myself right there.
Or you're going to get canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. For the 20 people that listen. but yeah, no, I'm, you know, people talk about the longing and what we did talk about last time. And we put that down as, you know, October, the longing starts. Yeah. I'm not feeling the longing. I'm not over, like, season 1 being at Christmas overwhelmed me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where I didn't do any Wheel of Time stuff, pretty much. Yeah. I stopped listening to podcasts, you know, January onwards. I was like, I just cut it out. I didn't watch the show again until March.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Wow.
So I was so overwhelmed. Whereas it's this time, it's very different. I feel, you know, like I'm
satiated.
Yeah, I feel like I'm making TikToks out of little moments from the show and stuff.
Oh, you know? Nice. I got to find those.
There's like 3. Don't get too excited there, Meg.
Right, she can find him in 5 minutes and then she'll be done. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, but Rob, I feel the same way. I mean, that's what I mean. I'm sort of surprised because when we talked, it was pretty close to the end of the season and we were feeling it.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely feeling like, oh, like, what I was feeling then wasn't the longing for the show. I was feeling the longing for something new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, but there's not another new episode to see. But I do feel like this has... it has satiated me and I can go back and I can even watch, like, clips, or I can just see pieces, or I can, you know, like, I mean, you know, this is still my phone. I have a 90 from season 1 as my phone,
nice,
you know, home screen. So, like, I can just look at that every day and go, ah, you know, but I think it feels like a different version of rereading the series. Like, because, you know, we all had the longing when we were reading in real time when the books were coming out. And so, but now that we've read the whole series, you know, we can just reread it whenever. And I sort of feel that way now about season 2. Like, season 1 left me worried. Like, are we going to get more enough? Are we going to get enough with season 2 or whatever? But now I'm like, oh, I feel really safe and comfortable in this world. Mm-hmm. And I can just enjoy what we have, knowing there's some more new coming out, but not desperately needing it today.
Yeah.
Agreed. Very much agreed. So aside from season 2 coming out, being obviously the highlight of the year, was there another moment this year where you're like, hey, this was really cool, or that was really cool? Meg, does anything jump out at you?
Well, so the first thing I thought of was when Yosha tweeted out to Default Rand about day 449 or whatever, and this is your release date for September 1st. So
yeah,
Yeah.
That was back in
May.
According to our, we made a small sexy spreadsheet, folks. and we have something for almost every month. So, February was kind of a sad month. I don't know. We didn't have anything for that apparently.
I do have February now that I didn't.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I know, but it's not. No, it's like it's personal. It's not wide. It's not necessarily for everybody. But I think February, Meg, was probably when we hit the ground running for our Watt Idol song.
Oh. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
And so Megan and I being, and again, like I'm putting this out there publicly, but Megan and I being 13 years apart as sisters and siblings, and then me moving to California when Megan was still in, were you in middle school or were you in elementary when I moved out here? I don't know, like little.
Well,
like,
you moved out there when? 95. I would have been in fifth grade.
95. Right, yeah. So, yeah. Like, I mean, and so while
she was a baby.
Yeah, she was a baby. And we're still like, we're so close and we're ridiculously close and like share so many things that we love. And we talk on the phone almost every day, but like we've never collaborated together on something, a fun project like that. It was in some ways, I feel like the first time we really did some sort of creative endeavor together in that way. And it was really special to just be like, oh, Megan and I are creating something together. This is cool and fun.
Well, and you are a creative as your career. So like, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas I'm not. So.
No, you cultivate young minds instead, Meg. Don't downplay what you do for a living.
I try.
No, there's no downplaying. I've talked about this before. Like, I mean, I write Barbie movies sometimes. That's not like, I mean, yay, it's great, but it's also like I have a friend who's a now officially a two-star general in the Air Force, and I'm like, you're literally like creating world peace and I'm writing Barbie movies. That's kind of I try not to compare. And then I'm like, it doesn't matter. What we're all doing is important.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. We all have something to offer.
People need entertainment. So Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. We'll put that in Feb. I like that. That, I mean, people were gearing up for Watt Idol anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's like a, that's, I think that must have been when it was announced, surely.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, I think so. And it's fun, like, also watching, because that was fun, like, joining Watt Idol Discords, where people were like, I'm having trouble with the software, or I need, you know, like, some ideas here. And there's just, like, it's a really fun, collaborative, creative energy in the fandom.
Because everybody just wants everyone to be the best they can be, you know? Yeah. Like, there's, like, some competitive spirit, but not to the point of, like, I'm going to sabotage you or anything. Like, it's just, we're all, like, lifting each other up, and we want the best product possible.
Yeah. Definitely. And I felt like it was also a really great, like it was a, once they finally dropped and people were watching them too. I mean, listening to people being like, I know I'm up against this person, but I love yours so much. It's so great. Like that was just consistently across the board. And it's such a great, uplifting kind of fun fan event. So, yeah.
Yeah. What I was a lot of fun. I'm very torn about my song for next year. I keep adding songs that are really, really good. So I have like, I don't want to give too much away, but I have a song that I think would be better live than like pre-recorded because it needs like there's some audience participation.
Okay. Yeah.
With it, that would really, really make it different. Then there's just one that I think could be like a classic hit sort of thing. it's a huge track in itself, and just to remake it, if I did it in the same style, would be, I think, pretty, pretty incredible. And then I just listened to like a Linkin Park song yesterday. I was like, oh my God, this would be an incredible, incredible track. And it would just, it made me think about doing Eminem the first year. And I'm like, I'm so torn. And then last week there was a Disney track that got played in the kitchen. And I just started singing this different version. And I was just like, oh, that would be incredible. And then a video popped in my head. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'm glad we have until July now, because I have like a million songs to go through. So.
We've known what we were doing since like almost the end of Watt Idol last year. And then I like haven't done anything with it in ages. And then thank God they just pushed everything to July, because I was like, I can't think about it right now.
Well, you've been doing all the work on that. I'm just going to literally show up, sing my part, and that's about it.
Or sing two parts. You may have two parts.
Or sing two parts, yeah.
Two parts.
But but it's also, you could just, Rob, you should just be like Salia and just like pop new ones out every day.
I mean, it's every like day.
Or
Alyssa.
Right. Yeah. I talk about regular videos every day, let alone parodies. Like that's my goal for 24 is to put out Tam. I've missed doing my Tam jokes, so I need to do Tam jokes.
I forgot about those.
And I said it when we moved into this house, and sadly we have to move again. Long story, won't bore anyone with it, but you know, landlords are assholes. We've got to move in February, so when we move, I am determined to start doing cooking videos again. And I'm just like, ugh, yeah. So I don't know if I can just pop out parodies, but maybe I should.
Dude, why haven't you done a cooking class as a panel at WalkCon?
Because I can't get cooking equipment into
like, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, have you tried?
It's all in the kitchen of the hotel.
Yeah, like, hey, can we all just take over your kitchen for an hour? Like, it just doesn't work. Or like, can you wheel out your cooker for me? Like, it's just, yeah. Logistically, it's not a thing. I'll get like a little convection top thing and a gas. There's insurance issues and, you know, hot pans.
Okay, all right. I just like food and I want to eat, so. Yeah,
That's fair. Well, if you come to Malkiri, I'm saying that. Oh, wait, no. If we get an Airbnb, like a lot of the committee are planning on doing, then I could actually make honey cakes.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Just rewatch the scene where Egwene brings Nynaeve the honey cakes. I saved you some honey cakes.
Yes.
Nynaeve's like, I hate you. Go away. it's a tough scene. It's a hard scene to watch.
Oh man, yeah. I was bummed in season one when Egwene brings Tam bread. I was like,
we're from Aaron's honey cakes.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I've always got time for your Mars bread. I'm like, no, I got no time for your Mars bread. I got time for your Mars honey cakes.
You know? Thank you. Right?
Biggest mistake in season one.
Seriously.
When I meet Rafe, I'm going to be like, I have a huge complaint about season one. He's going to be like, fully defense mode go up. And he'd be like, why did Egwene bring Tam bread and not honey cakes?
Mm-hmm. That is not canon.
But yeah. Oh. Yeah, so what idol was, that was April along with Jordan Con.
Yeah. Which
was a great April was a big month combination all in one go.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's good they're not doing it with J-Con again. And I'm like, oh, except they're doing it right before WalkCon. So same diff.
Yeah, same diff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do not recommend karaokeing until 2 a.m. on the Thursday night of a convention weekend.
Ooh, no. Ooh.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Your voice was shot, right?
Not just that, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it this year if it happens. Like, you know, you go karaoke Thursday night. Have fun, folks. You know, I'll just hang out at the hotel. You know, so
I keep wanting karaoke at WalkCon, though, and they don't do it.
I know. We don't do karaoke at MercuryCon either, though.
Megan and I, full disclosure, Megan and I got into the karaoke at WalkCon. You know where I'm going, Meg. And so the whole drive down, because we drive down from Michigan, from, you know, where Mom and Megan live, and then we drive down together. It's, 4 hours or something. And probably for a good hour and a half,
we were practicing.
We don't talk like that, Uno, in case it came up for karaoke. And because we wanted to be off book and remember all the lyrics and everything. And we had Mom singing one part. And so we were just having.
Like, and it was not good.
We were like, go, Mom, go. That's your spot. And we were so ready. And then there was no karaoke.
Well, I keep saying we need to do it next year for Guy Roberts because it's his anthem. So
yeah,
it's true.
Yes.
I'm going to tell Guy that you're going to sing it for him.
Yes. We will. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Jay, we got to get on it.
Yeah. Even if you have to have an instrumental version set up and I get like a speaker off someone and we just.
Oh, we got it. We got it. We're all good.
That's recorded.
I know. And as I'm sitting here like hacking and coughing with this terrible cold, feeling like I could never sing again ever for the rest of my life. I will never be able to carry a tune. Excuse me. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I got it. So that's a nice one. We'll move on to July. It was WalkCon.
So good.
Where I met the two of you properly.
Yes.
We'd met the previous year, but like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like in passing and stuff. And like, we actually hung out for like a good hour or something at one point.
I'd say more than an hour. I feel like we were there for like 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
Really nice.
Just watching the chaos. The Innkeeper was doing a show, wasn't he, if I remember?
Yes. Innkeeper was doing a show. Was that also the night they were doing the sing-along with Tucker and Rian?
Yes. Yeah. And I tried to recreate the meme of me just looking, I don't know, disappointed, concerned, upset,
bored.
Yeah. a whole combination of things. It didn't work, but it was fun nonetheless. Yeah. And that was great. Like the whole weekend was a lot of fun.
That's fun.
Yeah. And July was, for me, the Watt of July also was that, you know, I left WattCon and flew home. And then the next day I was ready to go to San Diego and
for SDCC,
for San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, yes.
And we were expecting a panel. There was supposed to be a Wheel of Time panel, and I was so excited. It was going to be amazing. And then, of course, the writer's strike happened. Like, I remember the end of WattCon was when the writer's strike was called. The actor's strike. I was already on strike for the writer's strike since May. And then the actor's strike was called while we were, like, on the last day of WattCon. And I was like, yeah, that means nothing's going to be happening at San Diego. But I did get to see the very large Moraine poster that took up an entire side of a hotel.
That's an impressive size.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Like, imagine trying to print that.
Yeah. Crazy. And it was so big. I remember I posted it like as I was walking from the train to the hotel, and somebody was like, it's Maureen going. Yeah. And they were like, it's Maureen going over the gates of Bear Lawn. When she makes herself. I was like,
yes. That's exactly that was almost a spit take right there.
That almost, I took a big, full disclosure, folks, we're recording at like 2:30 in the morning for me. Three different time zones here, folks. Sunday night, we're trying to balance school and all sorts. Luckily, I'm off tomorrow, so it's not an issue. All I have to do is mail out a few items. I was talking to Meg previously about it. I'm drinking coffee, and there's some Baileys in the coffee, actually, because 'tis the season. Oh, yes. And I nearly, nice. as you said, that Marine stepping and everything, I had a big mouthful of Baileys-infused coffee, and I just nearly spat it all over my computer screen. The strike started in, I can't believe how long it was, July they started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second weekend in July.
Yeah.
I just really wonder what would have happened had the strikes, you know, in terms of like promotion for season two and like all of that with the actors, how that would have changed things, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that absolutely would have been a premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was literally the reason for the Prague trip for a whole bunch of us that got to go. Thanks to Amazon. Sure. They literally said because of the strike and being unable to do a premiere. Was literally how they started the sentence. So we would have got a premiere. Obviously, we would have got probably a lot more behind the scenes pictures lot sooner.
Yeah,
You know, there would have been a dusty after show with cast members, I assume.
Yeah,
you know, because Matt gets all the fun. right. Love you, Matt.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame though. It's a shame how much we missed out on that, and how much the actors missed out being able to promote and. Put themselves forward as well.
Yeah,
it's really...
talk about the things they love. You know, they.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
But it needed to be done.
Yes. Yes. You
know? For sure.
And apparently, they were happy with what they got. Mostly. Obviously, I don't know the details of it.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, if both sides walk away disappointed or a little disappointed, that usually means it's a fair-ish deal.
Right.
You know, if someone walks away happy, you're like, well, someone got stiffed.
I mean, the writer's strike was the opposite. The writer's strike was overwhelmingly considered positive by the writers, but lots of on the production side are concerned about it. But the actor's strike, it was surprising because some of the actors were a little bit like, there became some questions of like, you didn't push hard enough for this and this and this. But I feel like for the most part, you know, it's still passed. So, and it's a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It strides.
You know, every step forward is still a step forward. So,
Yeah.
It's at least it's not like a step, you know, one step forward, two steps back. Like,
right.
Exactly.
You
know. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then next time we get to see our actors all out there like promoting like crazy.
Yes.
Let's hope barring any other weird random pandemic strike, whatever nonsense, just like it seems like every season is, you know, cursed.
Yeah. All right. What should we talk about next from our list?
I'm looking. Let's see.
Me too. Wait, January meeting Ayula when you went to her play?
Oh, yes. So a bunch of us decided, a couple people over from America, Grace was over visiting, Bryant came over early, he works for a company that's based here, so occasionally he comes over, I think he's over like a couple times a year for work purposes, so a trip worked out for him, and then a bunch of people, like, you know, someone from Oxford and people from like London and stuff, there was like eight of us, got together to go see Ayula Smart in a play called Paradise Now, little tiny play done in the Shepherd's Bush Theatre. Where is my program? My sound is going to go weird as I search for it now. It's somewhere behind me in a stream of shit because I've got stuff. Oh, no, that's Romeo and Juliet.
Something's about to crash over.
Yeah, these are all
bricks falling.
They're little Christmas boxes. Oh, they were going everywhere. Chaos.
So for those who are listening and not watching,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's the Medea program. I can't remember. I thought that was March, but we didn't actually get to meet Sophie. So anyway,
that's so amazing. Somewhere.
It's a cute little play about basically one of those pyramid schemes.
Yeah.
Like people, it was like played by five actresses on stage. Six. Tiny set, you know, tiny, you know, seating space. I think it was like, you know, 60 people could watch it type thing.
Yeah.
Tiny little, it's like a converted library or something. an old bank or something stupid like that. It was crazy. There were nooks and crannies. There was bookshelves everywhere. There were random sofas that had been there, looked like for 20 years or something.
Oh my God,
a bar in the center, table down the end for like a proper built-in table for like checking in for the to go to the show, like here's my tickets and stuff. And we just hung out afterwards. On the off chance we were like, there's no stage door, it's not a traditional theater. So we're like, we'll hang out in the lobby space and just kind of see. We'd taken a picture outside the front, put it on Instagram, tagged all of us that were there, and tagged Iola. We're like, hopefully she looks at a phone at some point and be like, oh, I've been tagged in something, you know, like what's this? Oh, there's a bunch of people here to see the show. Maybe I'll go see them. Like, you know, you got to shoot your shot. And I think it was like Elliot joked. He was going to the bathroom. He was one of the guys that came. He's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Like, Iola, just, you know, just keep her here if she turns up. Like, don't let her leave without me, you know, because she'll turn up as soon as I go. I know what it's like. And he did. And then like 10 seconds later, I looked across
the
bar, and then she walked in with like two of the other people from the show. And I was like, there, go. And like, we just went.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You descended.
We descended nicely, but we did descend. I kept my claim to fame of being, you know, able to spot Aiel.
Yes.
and we got to meet her, and she was lovely, and we found out that she has two sisters who are big Wheel of Time fans.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And she met, obviously, Bane and Shead, or Grace, and Becky, who is Sulun on Twitter, and she very much recognized those names, which was cool.
Great.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. We did ask her, what did her sisters think of her being cast as Avienda? And one of them was just like, huh? Sort of thing. And the other one was like, oh, okay, right, cool, whatever. Cool. You know?
Wow.
Sisterly
support.
We debated.
Right.
We debated. The sister who was like, really? You? The sister who responded like that. We're like, is that because she thinks Iola would not make a good Avienda? Or is it because when you grow up reading a series, you never really imagine your sister?
Well, right, for sure. Right. Yeah.
So we assume the second one.
Yes. Because she was phenomenal.
I can't wait
to see more.
This is a level of the fandom. And for Megan and I, that was a highlight as well. We were like geeking out about you guys being there, meeting her. We were out of our minds. But for her, who, you know, I mean, I think that was even before Cocaine Bear came out, right?
It was before Cocaine Bear.
So, you know, like her career was not like so exploded yet at that point that like fans showing up at a small, and I've done enough small theater, like I know what that's like. Like, you,
I was thinking like, of Reservoir Bitches when he was telling that story, Jay.
Yeah, or I was gonna say
that
maybe
is a
Shag
great
Run.
Name for a
Shag
play.
Run. It is literally just the female version ripped off of Reservoir Dogs, but
why not? You know,
exactly, why not? Which
my
is
sister
really
played weird. Ms. Blonde, she did, she cut off some lady's ear, so.
It was pretty bad. But it's, you know, it's a small theater. Like, you see everybody, you know everybody who's there. Like, it's usually like your friends and family who are coming to see you, you know? So it had to be so meaningful and important for her, and like a really nice way to sort of like find herself into the fandom, like, or find out that the fandom knew who she was and cared. And it's cool. It's really awesome.
Yeah. She was very surprised by it. In a good way. I think she was excited. I'm pretty sure she'd seen the, Grace and Alice had gone to see Donal like the year before. I can't remember where.
Which, holy shit, he can sing.
and the dude can sing. Oh yeah, the
Hades Town. Oh my god.
We've got tickets. I'm going to see it twice. I've got tickets to go see it with Elliot and Sulin.
I'm so jealous.
19th of February or something, I think.
Okay, you'll have to let me know how it goes.
Well, and then a whole bunch of us. There's like 10 of us going or something. And I'm pretty sure that's in May. So I'm hoping we can like, you know, be like, meet him in February and be like, oh, we'll be back in May with more people. And he'd be like, I'll keep an eye out for you.
I'm hoping. Well.
But yeah, the dude can sing. Like,
oh my God. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I did not expect him to have a set of pipes like that.
No, it was, I was blown away. Totally. And I have high standards. I do.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Yes, this is true.
Mel basically melted.
I know. I watched that. That was hilarious on Threefold Talk. She just died.
Yeah. That wasn't Mel playing a bit or anything. She was genuinely like that much.
Just like, oh,
she was that overwhelmed. Yeah. She was like melting in her seat, basically. Bless her.
So great.
But yeah. Okay. No, that was good fun. We did go in March. Some of us went to see Sophie Okonedo in Madea, which was incredible. She stole the whole show, with the exception, because it was it's a new Bush Theatre, basically at the bottom of Tottenham Court Road in central London. And the theatre, like the stage is a centre stage and the seats go around it. And it's like it's a box room and the seats are very high up as they go. And it's just like almost vertical with the rows. But it, you know, you see everything. So Sophie stole the whole show with the exception of when, I think her co-star's name was Daniel. Apologies if that's, wait, it's right next to me. I can just look. He was incredible. When like at the end of it, Ben Daniels.
You were there. You were close.
I was close. Yeah. there was a bit where he went to discover, spoilers now, folks, to discover the children.
But if you don't know Madea, then you're getting, you know, you deserve to be spoiled. Go ahead.
Yes. But I'll just say, like, discovers the children. It's a very traumatic moment involving young children. And he screamed. Now, this was not the first night. This show was on for a while. This was not the first night. And, you know, he's doing it every night, plus a matinee, one of the days of the week. And he screamed in a way that gave me chills, like chills of horror at what the emotion he was expressing with those screams. Yeah. And I was like, wow. So it was a cold day. It was wet. We did wait at the stage door for about 45 minutes. We did see several of the cast leaving. We did not see Sophie. Although we did see the guy who played Dudley Dursley in Harry Potter in the reception, really? In the reception space, because he was grabbing his coat. He's gone to the club. I think like he was friends with someone in the cast or something like that. So he was there with his partner. So
that's amazing. Oh my God, that's cool. Yeah. That's great.
So yeah. And then Brandon revealed a secret in April as well. Mm-hmm. How did we feel about the secret?
No, it was in January. January, right?
In January. Sorry, in January. Yes. I don't know why. Yes. Sorry, in January.
Was it that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 10-year.
I don't know. You know, that's really funny. I have to say, well, I was just actually on Wheel Takes podcast, and we brought that up. And it was me and Bree on with Gus because we had to go on after Allie. And we've all pretty much decided that that's just bullshit. We don't buy it.
I'm the same. I'm like, it's, you know, to peddle this giant secret for 10 years. I was just like, it's, I don't know. It almost feels like retconning something a little bit. Yeah. It's bizarre. Yeah. It really cheapens Perrin.
It does. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not into it.
We know
how
much you love him.
Yeah. Okay. Over there. You're quiet in the cheap seats, Meg.
But it does. It diminishes his value, like his contribution at the ending. And I don't know that I buy it. I don't know that I buy it.
No, after all that work with what he was doing in the dream world and stuff, and you know, you could basically take him out and it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and like the idea that, like, because to me one of the pivotal moments of Perrin is when he says it's just a weave, and when he says that to Egwene. And Egwene, who is the master of Teleranriad, like has trained with the masters, like, you know, and she's supposed, and it was just like, hey, guess what? People have a different viewpoint on what is real to them or what isn't. And it was just like to me it was a beautiful moment, because I was always like, it's Egwene's territory, get out, Perrin. Mostly how I felt through the entire series. Fair. And at that point I was like, oh no, you have your own master here in a different way, and mm-hmm. you're welcome to stay and live and I was like, okay, great, I love that. And then this reveal to me was just like, oh, so really not, that wasn't true. I mean, you know, it's not exactly like affecting mm-hmm. how he can live there in the world of dreams, but it just diminished so much of his
and it impact. Felt like just a get out of jail free card for Lanfear.
Yeah. But the reason we brought this up actually with Bree and Gus, and I'll just throw this at you guys because I'm still curious. As I was thinking about that, leaning into that, and I was like, wait a minute, did Jordan not kill? And it turns out I am wrong, but did Jordan not kill any of the female Forsaken? Did none of them die? Semiraj dies. Yeah. She's the only one. And I was like, so Jordan has the same female, like, can't kill a girl thing.
That how Rand does.
How does she die?
Rand Bale fires her.
Fires her.
Right? Okay, right, yeah.
With the true power when he comes out of the domination band, right?
But that is in Brandon, but that's Brandon wrote it, I think. Mm. So technically,
that's Gathering Storm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but then her coming back as Brandon feels like retcon Brandon, not Jordan anyway, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't mean, Matt insists that he called it however many, you know, 10 years ago. And
there's a text message or an email about it, right? I'm like, fine, Matt, you know, cool, yeah. Whatever, you're obsessed with Lanfear in a way that, in all honesty, Matt, I love you, but kind of I'm well over at this stage. Like, there's an obsession with Lanfear that's gone a little too far at this stage.
Well, maybe Brandon just retconned it and said that for Matt.
For Matt.
Maybe it's not really true. He's just like, I'll say that. Yeah. So Matt's happy.
Yeah. So we had that. And then obviously Michael, it obviously wasn't revealed then, but would have been had it not been for Origins, revealed Nekomi. Sort of heritage. Which, like, for me, was a lot better reveal. I know we're into 22 mm-hmm. now, but
yeah,
whatever.
It counts.
Yeah, it counts. Because it would have been in January had it not been for that. That was like, it's kind of what we all expected. We hoped for something crazy, but it's what we expected.
Yeah.
It was satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it totally fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was satisfying because it was like, okay, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what we were all going at, and now we have it like confirmed. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but what so with that reveal too, it's like, so the Jen are still around? Where are they? What are they doing? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
The Jen? They're right here. On the video? Sorry.
Not the Jen Sedai, the Jen Aiel. So.
that's why my name is Jen Sedai with two N's, because it's both.
Yeah, I love that. That's very cool. I can't remember where I posited this. I think it was maybe talking with Lauren about glass columns, but I posit that the glass columns themselves are like the Jen Aiel, like, somehow transform themselves, like their souls were just imbued into the glass columns and stuff, and that's like the history of the something like that. There's some sort of migration of soul effect going on with the glass columns, and I still think that's how the Jen, who are not, you know, the clan that is not, but are still around, and all those sorts of things, because that is the history, and then possibly if Avienda's use is anything to go by, the future of the Aiel.
Yeah.
You know, there was some deal with the Aes Sedai there. I don't know. Because the glass columns were not transported with the Jen when they left with their big caravan of goodies. So
right.
That's what I love about this series, is we can still like argue and theorize 20 years later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I mean, well, this sounds horrible. I don't mean this in this way at all. I really don't. But the fact that we lost Robert Jordan, like, it's sad. It's very sad, but we lost it while it was still a living document, and that's when we lost him. And so, in some ways, like, he gave all of his notes to Harriet. He gave all of his notes to Brandon, like, you know, or Harriet did. But like, and Harriet knows everything, and Maria knows everything. But there's also like, we can't check the source, and it keeps it in that. In some ways, I feel like keeps him and keeps it alive for all of the fans that we can still theorize and say, well, we'll never really know some of it. Like, we'll never really know the definitive yes or no to certain questions.
And it's like that pipe.
I knew that was where that was going. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is cool. So, yeah. I mean, the reveal stuff was interesting. But Brandon's secret. Meh. Give me like a 2 out of 10. That definitely felt like a Matt appreciation stream. Bless him.
But I have to say, so, and I'm still on board that it's not real, but like now that we're in the series and like, of course we watched Lanfear like blink, wake up, you know, heal your neck and not die. And I'm like, well, how does that work into the metaphysics? And does that have some relevance to that new reveal? And I love her so much on the show.
I do. I know. I was never a Lanfear fan in the books, but now I am.
Yeah, so I was like not a fan of that reveal, but now that I'm such a fan of hers, but also no. I'm still like she deserves to die at the end of the series.
I'm a Lanfear and Ishi fan. Mm-hmm. Like Lanfear, yes, when she's with Ishi.
Yes.
She felt obviously initially when she was Celine very much like the crazy ex-girlfriend type vibe. I was getting a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then when she was like, I'm going to rampage through Kyrie, and that felt that felt like they'd gone the other end of the spectrum. And I was like, Lanfear, I don't know. Like, she feels more like a middle, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm going to be manipulative and planning. And
subtle. Yeah.
Yeah, a bit more settled than like, I'm going to go hellfire in public or crazy ex-girlfriend in private. You know, like, it just kind of, I don't know. She up and down for me. They were mm-hmm. Natasha played the part great. Her acting was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the actual character for me, I don't know. I think I liked her more when she flirted with Ishi than anything else. Yeah. We were talking about the dynamic between
the Ishi Natasha. I mean Natasha and Farhad. Like that's
yeah.
I could watch them on. I could watch them on screen. Just sit there. For
yeah,
hours.
I could watch them peeling vegetables. Like
yes, please. Yes, please.
just doing improv. Like it would be crazy, and I would love it. So yeah, so we did get Natasha revealed officially as Celine in June.
I was trying to look that up because I couldn't remember, because officially it was in June, but we had a leak of it before that. Is that right?
Yes,
probably. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was probably John from What Up. I remember that I was pinging for a long time that she was playing Varen, because she was
Natasha
quoted, she quoted,
I missed that.
She was quoted in an article saying she was playing a, and the writer emphasized this, a very different role in Wheel of Time compared to her role in Cheeky Blinders. I mean, any role in Wheel of Time is very different to Cheeky Blinders, mm-hmm. but Peaky, not Cheeky, Peaky Blinders, sorry.
I like Cheeky. I like
that Blinders. That sounds like the spin-off series, you know. or like, you know, you get like tribute bands. Where it's
yes,
like, you know,
right.
That would be the tribute band to Peaky Blinders, but yeah, I went on the Varen train for a while with that, and then before she was announced officially, I had a friend who's works in the industry actually accidentally slip out to me that she was not, and she was playing Lanfear.
Oh no!
And I was like, "What? Are you kidding me?" She's like, "Wait, do people not know that yet?" And I'm just like, oh, "No." It's like, oh god. She's wait, which character? We make Googling.
And now you have to sign an NDA.
We went Googling like people and actresses and stuff, because I was like, are you sure it's Natasha? And she went, I don't even know what she looks like. Like, I'm sure that's what. And then she like looked at the picture. Yeah, I'm sure that's who my friend said it was. And then she messaged her friend. She's like, I can neither confirm nor deny, winky face. And she's like, yeah, it's Natasha. You know?
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was funny at the time. I was like, damn it. And for like 6 weeks, I had to sit on that while I was still plugging the Varen train until it got officially announced. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I was wrong.
That's really funny. I love that you just had to like dig in and live in that space.
I was like, well, you know, I didn't want to burn a friend.
Did we get the Natasha reveal before we got the Mira Sayal reveal?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was like, because I was actually, people were really leaning in like towards Mira being Varen. And I was just like, we got the reveal for Sharium, with that little like,
she was very Varen in that video.
She's lying. Yeah. She's not Sharium. She's Varen.
Yeah. And there was like the image of her in, we're talking about Rima now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. There was like a picture of her in Prague with an owl on her shoulder, and it was like,
yes,
that's Baron. Right. And that was like back in, I don't know when that picture came out, but like Rim was revealed in March. So it must have been January or February that we saw that picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was convinced that she was, and that we were getting all kinds of red herrings, so that she was going to be Baron. I'm still not 100% sure how I feel about her Sheriam yet.
I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing against her again, like and nothing against the writers. It's like, I love that they're changing things and doing things differently. I'm wrapping my head around what those were, like the repercussions of what her, the changes to her character.
Well, she's definitely more harsh and less motherly than I would say Sheriam was as a mistress of novices.
For sure. But she's also less, she's also battier. And whether or not she was under compulsion and whatever we're trying to figure out, like if she was under compulsion or not, when, you know, like, but she's, you know, like Sheriam always seems sharper to me. And
yeah, I was about to say she feels less competent.
Yeah. And she, but maybe that is again like a Rafe and a writer's choice, to because Varen isn't as batty as Varen seems. So maybe they're letting some of that live in Sheriam for whatever reason. And then we'll, you know, I trust them. I don't have a problem.
Yeah. Just, I'm sure it'll work out.
Yeah. You
know? And if there weren't characters we didn't like, then, you know, we wouldn't have discussion about shows. So
exactly. Exactly.
That's where a lot of the fun comes from.
Yes.
What else do we have?
I thought of something for December and now I don't remember what it was.
Oh, well I mean, we did have What a Holiday. Yes. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
That was really fun, as well as the lead up of the snack pictures and the reveals during What a Holiday of the snack pictures.
They were good fun. Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. So fun. Andrew, I wasn't sure if Andrew every year writes us a song for What a Holiday. He did the first year. And then he, the following 2 years, did it with a video, and we started to reveal the videos for every $1,000 we raised. Unfortunately, Andrew was not in a position to make a video this year. And it occurred to me that I could make a sort of a video based on whatever type of song he's like, I can write you a song, but I can't make a video. So I was like, I'll make a video to match your song. And then I'll reveal the snack calendar months as we go for the milestones. And then he sent me like, almost like some kind of club tune. And I was like, dude, this is so different to what you've ever sent me in the past. And so I had to make like this glitzy, glammy track video to go with the track. And it was hilarious. And then the things we gave away, I couldn't believe. It just kept dropping in.
It's great.
Like, that didn't happen until the last second. We were, you know, a month out, all we had was the mugs that Andrew always kindly donates. He donates 8 frosted mugs of a winner's choice and mails them out to the folks. It's not a small amount of money that he spends on those, and he does it every year of his own regard. I'm always so grateful that he does that. And then we had the map that got donated by Weekly World News that everyone signed at WattCon. Again, wonderful, you know, of Rob to donate that. And then we've got like Michael and Kate and Dr. Livingston and, you know, just like everyone from WattCon just signing it, or as many people as possible from WattCon signing it. It's got the very first Malkia Talk signature on it. That was the first time I ever had a Malkia Talk signature.
Amazing. Yeah.
Someone said to me, apparently I was like, you know, famous now and people might ask me to sign things. And I was like, no one's going to ask me to sign anything. And then I turned up the convention. They're like, Rob, you need to sign this. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe I need to make something up. And so I did.
I'm going to toot my own horn and take some credit for that. Because when he first put it on Twitter with the mistake, and he was like, what am I going to do with this? Look at this. Like, I can't sell this one because it's not perfect. And I was like, donate it, give it, like, make it a donation.
So, a one of one item. Yeah. I love that.
I might've just like put some of that in his head. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you for that. that's beautiful.
But it was such a great idea to have everybody at WattCon sign it. That was so fun.
Yeah, it really was. So yeah, so a month out, that's all we had.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, I didn't even know if Brandon was going to, like, they talked about possibly Brandon donating something or recording videos for it, because it's like the busiest time of year for him. Mm-hmm. He will never appear on What a Holiday, because like that is peak Brandon work time. I'm like, well, okay. Never mind. Is what it is. I'll have to get him on whenever he makes the Jordan Con. I have to get him on my show then instead. You know, that was it. You know, we had the map. That was extra. Like, this is great. And then it was like a, I don't know, 10 days out, and Jane emails me, be like, oh, so yeah, this is what I, oh no, it's like 2 weeks out. This is what I'm, you know, we want to confirm. We'll have to confirm exactly, but this is what I'm going to give you. And it was like the Secret Projects and the Leatherman books. And I was like, holy crap, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And then you know, like 5 days later, she's like, yeah, confirmed, we'll do this. You know, this will be signed, that one won't be signed, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow. So now we're just like over the moon. We've got these. And then Michael and Kate was just like, oh, we'll donate a recording. And I was like, oh, okay, amazing. Who doesn't want a recording from Michael and Kate? Brilliant. And then I had someone reach out to me directly, very anonymously, and be like, I have a cast signed copy of The Eye of the World that I would love to donate to give away. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I know, when it rains, it pours, right?
Like, me, Andrew, and Cheyenne are like furiously trying to work out how we're going to, like, you know, get people to enter into draws for these, and what level of donation is this, or donation of that, blah, blah. And I was like, and then we're doing the snack calendars as well. And I'm like, what is going on? This is,
yeah, it just so kind of blew up. It's just so great.
It's really great.
Yeah. And it was a great event. Next year's the 5th year. I can't believe we've done it 4 times.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, next year's the 5th year. And I'm like, wow, I feel the pressure to actually make it big. I don't know how. People have joked we'll do 48 hours, and I'm like, I am not.
That's a lot. I couldn't believe you were literally up for 24 hours, like monitoring everything.
I think I did better last year than this year. I normally nap prior to it, a couple hours. So then I can, by the time I actually go to sleep for the first time, I've been up like 12 hours tops. Or last year, Andrew, I like took over after like 4 hours and then ran like the next, I took over like 3 hours and then ran the next 5 sort of thing. I was going to be asleep for 4 and then I got up and he was like, I'm good to keep going. So I was like, okay, I'll nap for a bit longer. And then he's good to keep going. I didn't realize that look at the stream was like, he had a lot to drink, bless him. And I got up just as the transition was I got up just as the transition was about to start and found that he had abandoned the folks in the first stream, not stopped it, and just gone to the next stream and hit start. And had I not woken up and gone to the first stream, they would have just been like, well, I don't know. It's still because you can simultaneously stream like up to 3 streams at once. Right. So YouTube didn't have a question about it. It just started the next stream. And I was like, oh, Andrew, what are you doing? And I got in, like, had to be like, Andrew, go, 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 go. So, yeah, this year there was a stage at like, I want to say about 7 o'clock in the morning for me, or I'd been up a lot. And I crashed out during a show, not deliberately. And actually, like, stopped someone being able to share their screen, and someone dropped out and couldn't get back on screen as a result because I wasn't there to put them back on screen and stuff. I had to ask Udo to hop in an hour early for when they were covering so I could actually like go take a proper nap because I was like really, really struggling. First year, you think that's bad. The first year we did the whole thing using OBS and Zoom. I organized everything, and that requires constant attention. You cannot leave it. People, you know, screen shares, you have to change scenes and all. It's a very user-heavy system. It's not user-friendly type thing. I was up. I took 2 10-minute naps, and I do mean 10-minute naps.
Oh, no.
I was up for approximately, I think I worked it out, 31 hours.
Oh, my God.
That sounds awful.
I was off for COVID, and I spent a week adjusting my sleep schedule, so it was later. I got up later every day and went to bed later every day, to the point where I then went to bed, I think, at like 10 o'clock in the morning or something, and slept through to like 8 p.m. at night.
Oh, my God.
But then I could get up to start the stream at 12:30 or whatever it was.
Right.
I think 12, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I was up for about 30 hours, 31 hours, something like that nature by the time we started to finish. So.
Ugh. Sounds like having a newborn.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Yeah. So,
it's your baby.
What a holiday. Was so much fun. The calendars, they're getting mailed out tomorrow. Although at the time of listing, there will have been, hopefully most people will start to receive theirs.
I think those will go in my bar downstairs. I think that's where I'll put my calendar.
Nice. Brian and I are determined next year. Thank you, Brian the Gleeman, by the way, for the idea.
Yes.
Like, all I did was post a selfie of Taylor, you know, recreating a Taylor Instagram image for Twitter of Time Selfie Sunday, because like my hair was as long as his and it looked like a fun joke. And it just came from there. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? This is mad.
Blew up.
But we joke, next year we'll do it again. We'll start much earlier so that I can have the calendars made. Well, not the calendars made, but like, you know, be able to produce a calendar in advance to send to someone to get signed to sent back to me. So then, you know, the calendars can go out at the beginning of December, as opposed to, you know, middle of December, as it's currently worked out to be. So, because again, we finished and we're like, right, it will close on Monday. And then 2 hours before I was going to close sales, Taylor, you know, starts posting about it on his Instagram. And I was like, oh, dude, people are going to see this and like,
and then want to buy a bunch.
And we did. We sold like another dozen because of it. So I was like,
oh my God,
I have to extend it for a couple of days. So I did. And then ordering and then, you know, producing, you know, 73 calendars.
It will be a shame if we can't have Tom up for all 31 days of January.
It's true. Yeah. So I'm going to, I'm getting them sent out. I'm hoping.
I don't think I knew Tom was January. I mean, I saw the reveal.
You have to show her. You have to show her. Oh my God, it's so funny.
I've seen the Tom one. I just don't think I knew he was January.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. So Tom is January. You know, there it is. Yeah, I see on the pop. I'm showing Jen. It's great. They're in the TikTok. They're in order, and then Mel and Doyne are February.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Oh yeah, they're recreating Romeo and Juliet.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. All credit to the photographer for that one. I asked us.
Yeah,
I had to
really?
Ask permission to use that. Michael Livingston as March.
I love that one.
With Prince Ferdinand.
I have not seen that one either. That's incredible.
Right. He's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful wig.
That's amazing.
Kevin, the king of Photoshop, is April. He looks a little bit like Omar from What Series Here.
Oh my God, he does.
He really does, doesn't he? It's mad. And then I'm May. We don't need to see that. That's fine. Brian is June.
Nice. Oh, my God.
And then July is Sulin.
So, oh, that was so good. Was
like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Her roommate took that picture. I was like, your roommate helped you.
It's very, like, editorial-looking photo. Mm-hmm. It is.
She was worried she didn't do a very good job. She's like, that face was weird to recreate. I was like, you nailed it.
No!
Malky is king. I love Matt. He's being extra.
Oh, I missed that one. That's so great. Oh,
yeah. I haven't seen that one either. That's great.
He's being extra because, like, in the picture, Taylor's wearing a black shirt that's, like, done up to, like, low chest area. And Matt has, like, a white shirt on. He's clearly being blown by a fan. And I'm just like, that's you, Matt. I love this. This is great. And then Critter.
That was so great.
And then Priyanka's choice. Priyanka picked retweeted.
Yes, I saw that one.
Leia as October.
Nice.
Which is her birthday month, actually. Only one person got their calendar revealed when they were on stream. That was Tom at the beginning. But I think like four of the people involved, and I randomized it, got their month, their birthday month as the month that they did.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And Leia being one of them. And then in November, we had C.L. Clarke. They're an author. They live here in the UK. Huge Wheel of Time fan.
They're right fantasy.
Recreating the buff shoulders. And then Una round us out with December.
Amazing.
Yes. And folks, if you're listening, there are two very special days. In the calendars, we've put down the release for every book. So, for example, on... January 15th, in that square, it says Eye of the World released 1990. So all the books are mentioned like that. Oh, that's there was cool. Four books released in January. New Spring 2004, Crossroads of Twilight 2003, A Memory of Light, 2013, and Eye of the World 1990. So, and then what was it? October? Did I say?
Yeah, October had a bunch. Yeah,
October had six of the books released in October. But three of them were on October 15th.
This is why my grades, first semester grades in college, were so bad.
Yeah. Dragon Reborn, 91. Fires of Heaven, 93. And Lord of Chaos, 94. Yeah. So, but there are two days in here, folks, that have very special titles to them. And I did point them out to Meg in the pre-show. Meg knows what they are. And I'll tell you afterwards, Jen.
All right. Okay.
But I'm curious when I send them out, if people like flick through and see them first and work out what they are, or if they wait till they get to the months. And there is also one of them does apply to it's a spoiler again, I'll tell you after.
Okay, great.
So
I'm gonna be flipping immediately. I'm going to be flipping through the whole thing immediately. For sure.
So it's great. I'm so pleased by everyone's engagement on it. And who knows who we'll do next year, but we'll definitely have some fun. I'll have to try and get it signed again by whoever we managed to get snacking on it. So
right. Oh, so good.
All right. I'm conscious that Meg has to get up for school. And it's getting
one more week and then it's the holiday break. Just one more week.
One more week. You can do it. Yes. Is there any moment from the past year that you'd like to finish on?
Your Prague trip.
My Prague.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking right now. But yes, okay.
We're just making up because last time Megan and I didn't shut up. We did all
that. That's true.
But I like listening to the two of you.
And we like listening to you. So.
Shush. let me talk.
Prague.
Prague. I was very lucky, as we mentioned earlier, that because there was no premiere, the social media team threw together a trip for a bunch of people to Prague. Now, full disclaimer, there was like 15 people there that are, you know, they do Instagram and TikTok and they have travel blogs and, you know, they online magazines and things like that. There were like a whole bunch of people there that do that, you know, that stuff professionally. That is their jobs. They were there under actual contract to promote the visit and the things that we saw. Myself, Nablus, Critter, Lauren from Raveling the Pattern, and
Kathy,
thank you. I had Kelly's second name. Kathy from Dragonmount got invited as well. And all five of us, the first question we asked was, what do you want from us in exchange? Because the strikes were on and we were like, we don't want to, you know, we're not SAG. We're never going to be SAG. Like, but we want to, you know, support them. And they were like, nothing. It's a fan trip. You can come experience the whole thing and never tell us all about it. And that's fine. And we were like, all right, we'll go. So they flew us out. You know, the whole nine yards. I managed to sneak out of the UK just as the UK flight systems crashed.
Oh, right.
I don't know if I knew that.
Oh, yeah. Like, it happened. My flight was already delayed, and I was, like, messaging the Amazon travel people and being like, oh, I think I'm going to be late.
Oh.
And, literally, they came on. We might be able to get out in the next 30 minutes. Our pilot is negotiating a route now, which at the time felt weird.
Wait, but- so did you have, like, a private jet?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was a commercial flight. I mean, they did fly in the first class, but it was a commercial flight. And the reason they had to, quote, negotiate is because the system that automatically, you know, tracks planes and plans where they're all flying and all, you know, all that sort of stuff, coordinates the flight path of the airspace over the UK, went down because of a glitch that no one could possibly, like, literally could not have been predicted. And it happened right as we were about to start, like, boarding the plane and things like that. So there's no point boarding the plane if the pilot can't take off.
Right.
So he is manually working out with air traffic control, you know, the part that negotiates going around the country and stuff, of, like, working out a flight that doesn't clash with other planes and all sorts of things like that. So that's what they meant by negotiating.
Wow.
And they figured it out, and 10 minutes later, they're like, okay, we've got a route, we're fine, but we need to, like, if we don't leave in the next 20 minutes or something like that, we will miss that slot, and then we can't leave for probably 4, 6, or 8 hours or something like that.
Right.
So, literally, the estuary at the desk was like, so what we need from everybody now is to do the fastest boarding of your anxiety. So, could everyone just get on the plane right now?
Oh my god!
And the entire flood of, like, people for the plane just went woof straight to the desk.
Wow.
And we're just like beep 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 beep.
You've never seen humanity, like, coordinate like that in your life.
People were, like, juggling, like, people, like, bouncing in and out, like,
everybody's helping each other put their stuff above.
Oh yeah, it was chaos in the best possible way. I mean, I was lucky because, you know, they were flying us first class, so, to, you know, short haul flights, that's not fancy, but. You know, is the front of the plane. So I, like, walked in, went sideways, boop, sat down, you know, it was easy for me, but everyone else, I'm looking back and I've never seen people shuffle on a plane so fast. The trip was incredible. We got to hang out with Sarah Nakamura for a bit. She was wonderful. Like, Lauren asked her like 1,000 questions.
Of course.
Which I wanted to know the answer to, but Lauren, he's a chatterbox, bless him. He did ask a lot of things. And it was like, Lauren, you're asking all the things I want to ask. This is great. But yeah, it was lovely chatting with Sarah. There'd been a weird mix-up. I'd lost my job not long before this happened. In fact, I couldn't have gone on the trip if I hadn't lost my job, because I definitely wouldn't have gotten the time off work. So it was like a blessing in disguise. But I just, prior to making the trip out for the Romeo and Juliet play that we'd seen like a week prior with a bunch of friends, I'd just been offered a job at a company here in the UK. But the way it sounded when I worded it, it's like, oh, little did I know that when I, you know, flew out to Prague, I would land and, you know, be offered a job. And now I've seen this play and blah, blah. Some people took that to mean, wait, did you get a job in Prague? And then Sarah Nakamura replied to me being like, oh, so wonderful. You know, that's like a second home. Like, look forward to seeing you, blah, blah, and stuff like that. Because she thought I got a job at Prague Shakespeare Company. And then people thought, wait, did Rob get a job with Amazon? And then when I met Sarah, I was like, by the
way. You're an Amazon shill.
I know, right? So I sent her a DM like, Sarah, I think you misunderstood. And like, people are now thinking this, so I'm sorry about that. And then I met her in person and she's like, yeah, I just totally misread your tweet. And then like, apparently we found it worse. And I'm like, it's funny because now that I'm here, I'd put up a picture on Instagram, like sitting at the airport. Where am I going? You know?
Right.
People are like, off to Prague to work for Amazon. I'm like,
oh my God,
yeah,
that's
half. So yeah, that was
it's amazing was too fun. when the person who misinterprets it like has the microphone, I mean has the volume to like make it a bigger deal too. You're like, yeah, if Jen said I had misinterpreted it, like one other person would have seen it, so no one would have thought anything of it. But with Sarah Nakamura, I was like, great, come on in, you know.
Lauren literally sent me a message and was like, did you get a job with Amazon? Like, I understand if you can't tell me, Rob, but like, wow. Like, what? I got a job at a pub. You know, like, a lot of people won't know this, you know, because there's one in Ohio and that's it. But I got a job for a company called BrewDog. You know, it's like a hipster beer burger place. You know, yes. Like, it's here in Manchester. But that was but yeah, they put us up in a wonderful Oriental hotel. I think it's something Mandarin Oriental, something like that it's called. That was stunning. That was like.
I heard you got the really nice room out of everybody, right?
Well, I got the best room. Yeah, I told them in advance. Like, sometimes I have to walk with a cane. I've got an ankle that's going under treatment at the moment, and doesn't stop me doing things. I just get slow. And they gave me like this, this room that had like, so Kathy, for example, like her shower was like in the bathtub type thing.
Right.
It's huge. It's glorious. It's luxurious. You know, the whole nine yards. It's a 5-star hotel. It's incredible. But like, I got the giant tub. You know, with the TV built above it and all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
The other side of the room, the other side of the double-ended, you know, the double sink, double mirror situation thing, was a shower that was easily 6 feet wide, you know? And I was like, what do you mean your shower's in your bathtub? I got a shower and a bathtub. She's like, what? I'm like, apparently the cane helps. I don't know. I wasn't the only one on the ground floor, for example. Like, other people were as well. So yeah. But it was lovely. We got to meet and greet. I overslept for because of, thank God for time differences. But I did meet some folks. And then we got to go on the first proper day. We got to go in the evening to the actual Two Rivers set, which was incredible. If you remember the barman that Min talks to when she's traveling with Matt, he actually welcomed us into the village, very surly. So the village council says you can come in, blah, 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 blah. Because the village was, you know, had been rebuilt, obviously, with some extras that, for spoiler reasons, I can't share. There was literally big, giant yellow signs all over these certain items in the village. We're like, this is a spoiler, no pictures, no videos.
Right.
I was just like, right. But when we drove over the hill, like, Kathy's heart monitor spiked and we were all feeling it. And when we looked, we were like,
yeah.
It reminds me, I need to ask Sarah for that footage because she filmed us, like, getting out of the car, the five of us, and we were all just like, oh.
And your reactions? Oh my God, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I want to see that.
But we got like a mug of ale, and then we got to wander around the village for like well over an hour, like just talking to the actors and taking pictures, and it was insane. And then they took us into the Wine Spring Inn, and it was like a teeny little like seating stage thing to fit like the 20 of us or whatever it was. And then there's like quote large, you know, screen in, you know, one that fills the room. We got to watch the first two episodes, and this was the Tuesday of the week that it came out. So everyone else is watching it. So we watched it 3 days in advance, basically, with the time difference.
Yeah.
So that was pretty crazy. I like once during each episode, because lucky I got screeners, so I'd seen them. So it was
right.
I was like, I can take a moment. And I'm not missing anything. I sort of like just disconnected from watching and then looked around. And I'm like, I'm in the actual Wine Spring Inn.
Yeah.
Watching the
Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is insane.
That's magic.
So yeah, that was very magical. And that's where the Trolloc nipple picture of like someone touching a Trolloc nipple came from. That's Nameless.
Right.
And there's a picture of me spooning.
Yes, you were spooning the Trolloc. Yes.
As one
we can all only like hope to have that happen sometime in our life.
The fur was about as coarse as I imagined it would be.
they don't have very good grooming.
No.
I don't think their
program leaves a little to be desired. And then the next day, they took us to the studios, and we got to do stunts. That was the first thing they put our song to. And I carried on my tradition of seeing people before others. I was so around to Kathy, I think, was next to me. Or Critter. I think Critter was next to me. And I was just like, oh, that's Magdalena over there. That's Tigraine. Oh, my God. And, yeah, she was one of the stunt people.
So jealous.
Oh, my God. I didn't know she was still working on the show. I didn't know
she
was still
works on the show, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love her so much. Yeah, I see her behind you. There she is.
On the wall. Yeah. But there's pictures out there of actually me meeting her. We all met up as soon as Thomas Napper was there and the head of the stunt crew was there, as well as stunt crew people, obviously. And he talked to us about the filming process and working with the stunts and stuff like that. And as soon as right, so you can just sort of wander around. There's swords and things around the space. They performed three stunts for us: the loyal fight scene, Lan and Moraine fighting the Fades, and Nynaeve fighting Maxim and Ivan. The initial stunt layouts for those.
Yeah.
All very, very cool. And as soon as that finished, Kathy and I just sort of darted across the room to go to Magda. Critter went to the Amazon person, was like, are we allowed to talk to you know?
Because she was trying to go through the proper channels.
Yeah, and I'm just like, better to ask permission there, better to ask forgiveness than permission. Exactly. I'm booking it across the room. And got to talk to her. And then after stunts, we went to wigs, sorry, wigs and that. Then to costuming. Sharon, who does the costuming, was there. And oh my God, you couldn't shut her up in the best way.
Great.
The costuming this season was insane.
And listening to her talk about it as well, and her insane passion for it, and her just love of it, and how deep she's going.
It's amazing. The the black feathers on whose outfit is it?
An Aglemar.
Aglemar, yeah. That was
that would have been this season.
The season two. Who is it? Someone's got
Styroth had the black feathers on her horns.
Yes, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's pure luck that they used those. They were gonna do they were gonna do hair. They tried a few things and they were like, what about, raven feathers and,
blah, blah.
And then we explained to her, or she found out. Yeah, she had found out. She's after we did this and put it through, we were then told, raven is a big symbol within the Seanchan. And
there's actually a significance to that.
There's significance
to it. That's Tavirin right there.
Yeah. She's also this is how much, we're just in, just bringing in, when we're reading the material and looking through the source and speaking to Sarah and speaking to other people, this is how much is just floating through subconsciously to us, that those are the things that we're picking to make the costumes with. Mm. In the end, the Amazon folks had to be like, Sharon, you need to shut up. We have to go.
Oh, no.
I very much paraphrase that. They're really sorry, Sharon, but we wouldn't split up into four groups, the groups are all going around with the same amount of time in the spaces.
Right,
we had definitely taken more than we should have. So, I think that was
because you guys are the fun ones to talk to,
and that's what they said. They were everyone was more interested to see what you thought, see what questions you wanted to ask than anybody else. The last thing they say for us, and it was their outdoor set for Tarvalon, the streets of Tarvalon. But it was guarded by Seanchan soldiers. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole thing about we had to give him a bag of coins, the bribe our way in. But Kathy, so when we walked up, there was two sets of two at the gates. And when we walked up, they went the spears just sort of crossed in front of us. Kathy just ducked under it. I don't care, I'm just going to go, thinking it was a bit. And it was, but it was a bit where she was meant to stop. And the second set of soldiers, you could see slight shock in their face. And they were we have to improv here. And they both just sort of lowered their spears toward her. And then she's like, oh, maybe I should actually stop. We turn around and Dan's given Lauren a bag of, quote, gold coins, the bribe. And she's there just like, oops, And we got in, and
the one time I met Kathy, this totally vibes with her. Yes,
it really does vibe with her. So we got in, and there was Sanya, I think. Again, another one of the directors. I think she did episodes 3 and 4.
Sana Hamri.
That's it. Thank you.
Yes.
There was the two set production managers, Andre and Andre, because there's like four Andres who work on the production. two or three of them work in set design. But two of them are like semi heads, and there's a third guy as well whose name eludes me. Yeah. And a couple other people, I forget. There was a lot of names going on. And we asked loads of questions to them, and then we could just wander the streets, and there's Shanchan guards everywhere, like cutting off the corners and stuff, top of stairwells, things like that. And then at the end of it, unbeknownst to us, at the entrance where we came in, they just started coming up towards the ends of the corridors and then like forming a wall of people. And they would just like, take a step. And as they would meet more alleyways, the soldiers in those would be lined up ready to join them, and then they would just slowly march us out. I think Kathy got chatting with Sanya so much that she just was like, oh, okay, right, well, you know, you do what you're doing type thing. And then suddenly we realized we've been pushed out of Tower of Elan, and Kathy was still inside.
Oh my god.
And like, I think, wait, do we have everyone? We're like, wait, where's Kathy? And then she must have said something inside, because the doors just reopened at that moment. There she just sort of wanders out like, oh, you know? It was like, Kathy, what are you doing? I remember there was two moments, one with Dan, one with Carly. Carly was after we left the Two Rivers and we'd watched the episodes, and she asked us, she said the big execs, the Amazon execs, want to know specifically what the five of you think of the first two episodes that you've seen.
Wow.
And in Kathy's case, it was 4, and the rest of us, it was actually 3 episodes. But, you know, they weren't, you know, they don't know that we've seen those, because they're execs. They don't know that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it's anonymous. Just give us like a quote that I can give to the execs. So we all gave a quote. You know, mine was about the fight scenes being pretty fucking phenomenal, to be honest.
Yeah.
And we all
especially
said,
Hatsima.
Oh, yeah. Especially Hatsima. And we all gave very complimentary things because they were accurate. But that was really interesting that, you know, the execs were genuinely interested in what the five of us had to say. They didn't care about anybody else. They're like, what do the five, what people think?
And that's nice to hear that, like, the execs at that level are interested.
I think they'd learned, you know, that while we may not, you know, the fandom on Twitter time, whatever, may not be like, you know, the bulk of their viewers and like all that sort of stuff. But if we don't like something, it will get out there. It will cause the problems, you know? And it was the reason the whole Waygate, I mean, it's a joke now, but the Waygate thing came from an exec who was like, no, the Waygate is better. Do that. And we obviously reacted the way we reacted, and they were like, oh, we should listen. So they do listen. So I remember that. That was really interesting to me. And then I'm pretty sure it was Dan, but I think Carly also was involved in this one as well. They came to us after we'd left Tarvalon, and they were like, so we need your help, because, you know, the fandom gets a little stuck on things sometimes, you know, they focus on things, and we know that you guys aren't going to be putting this out there right now, you're going to wait for the strikes, but the other 15 people here on Twitter and on TikTok and Instagram and, you know, blah 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 blah, you know, they're going to be posting stuff that they've seen today, like they're under contract to do so. People are going to see Shan Chan soldiers in the streets of Tarvalon. So when this gets out and Twitter sees it and Instagram sees it and, you know, the things you expect are going to happen, maybe you guys could be like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is clearly just promotional stuff. Like, I don't think, you know, yeah. And everyone was like, yeah, no problems. We got you guys. We got you. And I was just like, I might give it 30 minutes first. And I swear that Dan and Carly looked at me and they were like, what? They didn't say that, but I could see the looks in their faces like, beg your pardon, Rob, you know, like, seriously. I'm like, sometimes it's fun to watch the world burn a little bit before you fix it, you know.
I mean, we did all freak out about Aludren.
Aludren, so. Right? You know, Steve.
Yeah. And know? I admit, I was one of those that freaked out about Aludren.
Oh my god.
You texted me, you were so mad.
I was.
I love that. So those are like the big highlights of the trips. There were other small things. You know, hanging out with some of the other people was great. There were so many different countries, people there from like Istanbul and Chile and Argentina and obviously America and the UK. And there was someone there from France and someone there from somewhere else in Europe. I can't remember. You know, it was loads of different people, and it was so nice to meet them all. You know, it was really great, and they looked after us, and you know, the trip was a lot of fun, and we got to meet so many more people than we ever thought we would meet. But yeah, those were all the big things. And yeah. The Amazon people, again, they were lovely. Whatever their job was to do, like, they looked after us really nicely. So yeah, the whole trip was wonderful. And
that's so great.
Yeah. I still haven't made my videos from it, although I've done a few TikToks. And I've talked about it. But
I'm feeling like we're living vicariously. It's so good to hear.
For
it's
sure.
So lovely to hear the details. It's just amazing.
Season. The Two Rivers set, man. You need to see it. You need to see it in full. There's like, I did a video, and there's accidentally right in it. There's a certain moment in the video where I watch it back and I'm like, ooh, there's something in that that's had a spoiler tag on it that I shouldn't have gotten that video, and I did.
So I need to go back and like really look at your videos then.
Not a single person has found it, and trust me, you're not going to see it, because I only see it because I know it's there. You won't see it. You can like zoom in. You're not going to see it,
I think. All right,
Megan. Don't test us. We're going to find it.
That was pure accident. I thought I'd stopped before it got to it, and I hadn't. And I'm like, damn it.
So it's before cut. Okay, all right. We got this. We'll find it.
Love that. But yeah, so hopefully that means when season 3 rolls around that, you know, they might be like, hey, we should have that guy back, but for a premiere instead. That
yes.
would be lovely. Yeah. And I would take my Urge Street sign that does not come from Charleston yes. itself, obviously, folks.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not recycled from Charleston. Yeah. It's still the only one in existence. Mm. They have not replaced it. Yeah. Yeah, stole that from. So it was ruined in a storm. It was on the floor with trash. I saved it, folks. I've said this before. I'll say it again.
Yes.
And Charleston moves a little slow, in the words of Maria, because they were there at OGCon this year. And she's like, yeah, they have not replaced the green sign yet. There's just the white one at the other end of the street. And everyone was like, that's because Rob's got it in London, in Manchester. So so I would take that to the premiere, and I would have that signed up, and then people could be interviewed underneath. That people could be interviewed on Urge Street.
On Urge Street, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would do. So, but yeah, it's been a fun year.
It has been a fun year, yes.
Yeah. Hopefully very full. Next year is just as full, even if it doesn't contain season 3.
Yeah. there will be a lot. There will be a lot to keep us excited.
We've Guy Roberts at WalkCon.
And Mercurycon.
Yes. Which, you know, I'm not spending $900 to go to Mercurycon, but...
That's fair. I get that.
It is on my Orbitz tracking, and it did go down by $50, but I still don't think I can afford it.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I get it. I mean, but that's why I started a convention in Europe, because there are people in Europe who are like, I can't afford a trip to America, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, there's space for everything everywhere. Like, and maybe you'll make it 1 year. You know.
Yeah. I do want to go to Prague. Like, all of the videos and like everybody was showing, like when you guys went over there, was like beautiful. I would like to get there.
Prague is a beautiful city.
Yeah.
It's stunning. When we went over for Romeo and Juliet in August. Yeah, in August. Was it August? Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. Like, it was heat wave situation still. We were sat on like the riverside at this like bar where you could just like go buy giant steins of beer and just literally sit on the embankment of the river and drink beer and then order pizza, which it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning. There's lights everywhere, and yeah, it was glorious. You can and I know you can't do it in America, but you can buy booze and just drink on the streets, open container
vessels. You can in some places. You can.
Right.
In Vegas.
For Brian, who was with us.
Oh, hey, you can in Farmington, where I live.
Everything goes in Vegas, I hear. So
from certain establishments in certain areas. It's very specific, but still, you can try.
Jen, should we be concerned how well and detailed a school teacher knows that?
Yes,
you know we need it.
That's true.
I was a teacher briefly, actually. I was a high school teacher, and I when I was in teaching school, I was like, I've never met a group of people who both need to and do drink more than teachers.
Yes, there we go. They deserve it. This is true.
Yeah,
I mean, Meg was, you know, she was just drunk making a cocktail before the stream, so you know. She couldn't figure out how to put on headphones, folks, after just shaking a cocktail.
I felt like there was a left and a right, and I had it wrong. So,
Jen and Meg, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
This is a blast.
Yeah, I love it. I look forward to more recordings.
Yes, for sure. Anytime. We're happy to be here.
Yes, I love that. Well, it's a bit early for us, but not if you're listening, folks. So go enjoy your New Year's, whatever you're getting up to. And we will see you in 2024.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays. And go find yourself some love, water, and shade. And I'm going to shake my new fancy. I got an actual buckler for Christmas. So.
Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.